Well, we're taking a few weeks here in between Christmas and Chinese New Year to look at, which we do every now and then, some kind of basics of the church, some church roles, if you will. And the deacons had asked me to do this a little bit ago. So we looked at the role of deacon in the church last week. And today we're looking at elders. We will be back in our sermon series in the book of Romans after the Chinese New Year holiday. So we'll be picking back up in the book of Romans in chapter 6. And look forward to doing that. Can we pray together? Lord, especially ask for your help this morning. I pray that you will help me to be clear with your word. Help me to be accurate and helpful. And we pray, Lord, that you will accomplish your purposes in Clearwater Bay Church and accomplish your purposes today in this place. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So our church has been talking for several years about the need to shift a bit to a group of deacons and deaconesses who lead out in serving in various ways in the church, and also having a group of elders, plural, who shepherd, oversee, and teach the congregation. As I said, last week we looked at deacon, and today we'll look at elder. It's been difficult the last 3 years. One of the reasons why we haven't pushed, per se, in a transition to elders and deacons, at least using those terms, is during the pandemic we met face-to-face, we met online. We met face-to-face, we met online. We met at Resurrection Church, then we met here, back and forth. Not necessarily the best time to make a major change. And so I definitely haven't talked about it very much in a while. I do hope and pray that the church, whether in the near future or far future, will seriously think about having elders and deacons. Well, what does elder mean? What does elder mean? You may have seen that word. I went to a seminary. One of my good friends, his name was Jason Elder. He was a young man, so interesting name. But the terms in the New Testament, elder, where we get the word Presbyterian, presbyteros, and overseer, episkopos, which literally means epi, to over, and scope, to look over, are used interchangeably in Titus 1 and in 1 Peter 5 and Acts 20. We even see these terms elder, overseer, and shepherd used in the same passage interchangeably. Well, an elder is not just an old person, even though it can mean that, but in the Bible, an elder, the role of elder, is one of an overseer in the church and a shepherd. So when you think about elder, some people may call, they have overseers, or some church may say we have pastors or elders. It's really the same thing. So where do we see elder leadership in the Bible? I'm really quite amazed that a lot of churches have deacons, and yet deacons are not mentioned that often. Elders are mentioned a lot of times, and yet churches, for some reason, don't like to use the term elders or overseers. So what I want to do this morning is a little bit of a Bible study, if you will. I want to just kind of walk us through lots of passages in the Bible that show where there are elders in the Scripture. I'm not going to look at all the times the nation of Israel had elders. It's quite common in the Middle East to have elders in tribes, but we're more talking about spiritual elders in the Bible. So I want to start in Exodus 18 and Numbers 11. I'm not going to read all of these long passages in Exodus and Numbers, but here's the story. You know, if you know this story well, Moses was doing it kind of by himself. He was standing there, and there was like a long line of people coming to him all day, and he's worn out. And his father-in-law, Jethro, or Reuel, comes to him and says, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm standing here, and the people are coming to me to inquire from the Lord." And his father-in-law is like, "That's not good. You're surely going to wear yourself out." He says, "It's too much for one man. You need to appoint elders to help you." In the book of Numbers, we see that God puts Moses' spirit onto these other men, and they help Moses in the task. And this is really, we see all the way back in Exodus and Numbers, exactly one of the practical reasons for elders is that it's too much. It's too much for one person to do it. Moses needed help. When I speak of elders, I am speaking in the plural. A group of multiple men balancing the load for Moses, who were in one accord. We see that in Exodus and in Numbers. Acts chapter 6, which we looked at last week, which we said was kind of a prototype of these two roles in the church, the deacons and the elders. At that time, it's the apostles in the churches, and they said, "Hey, we don't need to give up the ministry that we have, ministry of the word and ministry of prayer and ministry of taking the gospel to the nations, but we need to get some deacons to help in that task of the widows being neglected." We saw that. We talked about it last week. You can read that sermon online. The apostles appoint these seven to help in practical needs. So this is really the prototype, if you will, of two different ministries, ministry roles in the church. A ministry of the word and a ministry of oversight and prayer and a ministry of serving in practical areas in the church. So this becomes the model in the churches, elders and deacons later. Just about all of the churches that we know of, we can think of churches around the world, they have some kind, whether they use the same terms or not, there's some kind of group of people who are serving in all kinds of different ways in the church, and then some people who are in charge of the oversight and the teaching of the church. Let me show you Acts chapter 14 as we just kind of walk through. This is an amazing passage. When they had, this is the apostles, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So they had traveled to all of these different places, and they appointed elders in each church because the apostles are leaving, right? They're not going to shepherd these churches from Jerusalem or wherever else. They've got to have elders in place in the churches. And we might say they committed them to the Lord, the chief shepherd, the chief elder in whom they believed. That's a very interesting thing, by the way, to be able to just go, "Okay, you guys believe in Jesus. Let's appoint some elders. See you later." Entrusting them to the work of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 15. In verses 2, 4, verse 6, verse 22, and verse 23, we even see that the church in Jerusalem, which has apostles. Now, if you've got all of the apostles, do you really need elders? You would think not, but they have them. So if you look at those verses, you will see that there are elders in the church in Jerusalem, even while they have apostles. The apostles were the sent ones who were going out to proclaim the gospel, and the elders were staying there and shepherding the congregations. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 to 28. I need to read a bit of this. Acts chapter 20, 17 to 28. Paul, you know, goes down to Miletus, and the elders of the church in Ephesus, they come to him. And when he comes to them, and they come to him, he starts to share with them, and we have an account of that. He says to them in verse 28, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock," that's a shepherd with the sheep, "in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." So in this passage in Acts 20, we see that they are to care for the flock, that's pastoral, that's shepherding, and then we have him call them actually overseers, and yet earlier he's called them the elders. So in this passage in Exodus, in Ephesus, they already have elders in the churches. It says, pay careful attention to yourselves, to those elders. Pay careful attention to the flock. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And then he says, I commend you to the word. He's commending those elders to their task, which we'll see in greater detail in Timothy and Titus, that elders are to be men of the word. That word ministry. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we see the passage where it talks about equipping the saints for the work of ministry. One of those ministries is shepherd teacher. Oftentimes we will separate that and say it's a shepherd and then a teacher. But the Greek lends itself to shepherd teacher. Shepherds are supposed to teach the word. They're supposed to feed the flock. This might be a good passage for you, these passages for you to look at as you look for a pastoral search team, pastoral search committee, to be thinking about exactly what it is that we want in a pastor. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, we looked at this last week as well. Paul is writing to the overseers and with the overseers and the deacons. Philippians 1:1 says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. So here we go. We've got the saints in the church. The apostles are writing to the church. The saints are in the church, but this church has overseers and deacons. One group is looking over the churches, shepherding, and the other group is serving in multiple ways. 1 Timothy chapter 3, which is one of the passages that, well, that's really small, isn't it? Sorry about that. Maybe just look in your phone or Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. We need to read these qualifications. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. So here is one list of qualifications. We have two of them. We have one in 1 Timothy 3, and we have another one in Titus. Let's look at the Titus list. We read it a minute ago. Paul, writing to Titus, he says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy." Sound familiar? "Greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it." Now, we mentioned last week, let me say this again, that the qualifications for deacons and the qualifications for elders are very similar. As a matter of fact, a lot of the things that we would see in the qualifications for deacons and elders are also required of all believers. Like the character is things that we're all supposed to have as believers. So they're not like exemplary Christians necessarily. But what are the things that distinguish the elder list from the deacon list? Let me just point out a few of those. So the one that stands out the most is that elders must be able to teach. There's never a requirement in the deacon's list that deacons must be able to teach the Word of God. The elders' list, though, says, if I can see it in my notes, able to teach in Timothy, and then in the Titus passage, it says, must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, to be able to give instruction in sound doctrine, to rebuke those who contradict it. That's not in the deacon passage. So elders, remember that prototype in Acts chapter 6? A ministry of the word, ministry in practical areas. It doesn't mean that but one's more important than the other and these people are not important, these people are. That's not what it means. It's just different roles. Elders must be able to teach and give instruction in the Word of God. It does not mean, this may bring you some relief, this does not mean that you have to have the gift of teaching. It doesn't say, must be a phenomenal teacher. It says, must be able to teach and give instruction in sound doctrine. It doesn't mean that all elders are always going to teach. It just means that they're able to. When they see, as overseers of a congregation, that when they see error, they can say, no, that's not what the Bible says. So number one, some of the differences, elders must be able to teach. Number two, elders are not recent converts. That's listed as elders, must not be a recent convert. You wouldn't take a recent convert and make them an elder, overseer, shepherd of the congregation. And he actually says some pretty strong things there in 1 Timothy. It does not say that deacons cannot be recent converts. Okay. Lastly, controversially, elders are to be men. Deacons can be men and women. Just before the elders list in 1 Timothy chapter 2, remember there are no chapter divisions in the Bible. It's just a letter, the letters at least. 1 Timothy, Paul says he doesn't permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man. Teach, exercise authority is exactly the responsibility of elders. They are to oversee as God stewards the churches and to teach. Also, in the elders list, there is not a mention of elders' wives and any qualifications for the elders' wives. But there is a qualification in the deacon list for deacons' wives or deaconesses, says chapter 3, verse 11. Their wives must have these qualifications. So the absence, I believe, of the elder in the elder list of no qualifications for their wives, along with chapter 2 saying, I don't permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, is elders are men. And the masculine pronouns in the elder passage also speak to that. So elders differ in that sense, must be able to teach, or not to be a recent convert, and elders are a plural group of men who oversee and shepherd the flock. Deacons are men and women in the congregation who lead out in serving in many different areas in the church. Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13 verses 7 and 17, here the writer of Hebrews uses the word leader. I'm feeding back. I don't know if I'm too high or too low or what. Here the writer of Hebrews uses the word leader, not elder, overseer, or shepherd. I think if we look at these verses, that leader in Hebrews, we're looking at different passages through the Bible, okay? So when we get to Hebrews, verse 7 says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So that leaders there refers to those who spoke to you the word of God. Now when we get down in verse 17, he says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Obviously that doesn't mean submit to them in every area of your life, okay? Read that, obey and submit to them with wisdom, not thinking that elders in the church or pastors have some kind of heavy hand that they can tell you how to live your life. They don't. Okay, they're supposed to be shepherding you. They're keeping watch. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. As those who will have to give an account, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. So in Hebrews, if we look at this passage, the leader there, considering it's talking about shepherding, is also part of the elders or overseers. 1 Peter chapter 5, pretty clear passage. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 through 5. It's on the screen. For I exhort the elders among you, this is Peter, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Just notice here the word Jesus, chief shepherd. They're under shepherds. Here's the word elders, and here is the word oversight, if I can see it, oversight. So you see those are in the same overseer, elder, shepherd, all in the same passage. Peter says he's a fellow elder. He calls himself an elder. The elders are to shepherd the sheep, literally what it says. The sheep among you, meaning a local congregation. They're not required, I'm not required to shepherd Island ECC's flock. I'm not required to shepherd everybody in Hong Kong, right? To shepherd the flock of God that is among you, written to all these churches over Asia Minor. Exercising oversight. And he says that you are to obviously do it in such a way that you are accountable to the chief shepherd. Now, let me give us a summary, trying to just lay out all of the biblical passages that talk about elders and deacons last week. There are two offices in the church, elders and deacons. Churches should have both. Can't have one without the other. Need both of them. Elders and deacons are not to do all of the work, but elders and deacons are actually the ones that are leading the congregation to do ministry. Right? Like the elder, the people in charge of the ministry are not the ones who are supposed to do all the ministry. The ones in charge of the ministry are leading the saints to do ministry, whether that's deacons or elders. Elders are a group of men who are called by God and accountable to God to oversee and shepherd the local church with, by, and through the Word of God. Let me say that again. Elders are a group of men who are called by God and accountable to God to oversee and shepherd the local church with, by, and through the Word of God. I like this this definition of elders by Jeremy Riney, I think is how you pronounce that. But he said, elders are Jesus' assistants for shepherding His churches. Elders are Jesus' assistants for shepherding His churches. Deacons are Jesus' assistants under the authority of the elders of the church who exercise oversight in serving His churches. Shepherding and serving. I think one of the, this is not in my notes, Keith, okay? So one of the things that I think we have difficulty with when we think of elders is we think of, in order to be an elder in a church, that you must have gone to seminary and you must be, like, you had to go to school and be trained and all of these kinds of things to be an elder, okay? Churches that have elders will have some elders who are full-time and some elders who have been trained theologically and other elders who are just men who know the Word of God really well and God has called to that task. Not necessarily, maybe an accountant, maybe an engineer. So most of the elders in a church will not be paid elders. So don't think of elders as paid staff. Maybe some of those will be, but not most of them. Let me just give us some application. I know this is probably a church polity sermon, not necessarily maybe the message that you came looking for today to really give you a boost for the week, talking about elders. I think corporately the application, obviously I've already stated, is that I want to encourage CBIBC to press on in pursuing and putting into place a structure of elders and deacons. You know, it's just the Bible says what the Bible says we want to do. And if you look through your Bible, I can give you all of the verses. We see elders in the Bible. So why wouldn't we want to do what the Bible says? Right? We need elders, a plurality of elders, to shift the congregation from a single pastor and a deacon board or deacon group, and then lots of people who are leading in ministry, to a plurality of elders, by which the pastor is simply one of those, not above those, but simply one of those equals with deacons and deaconesses in the church, serving and leading in ministry, and all of us using our gifts for the church and for Christ. So personally, an application for each one of us is this. Simply, I ask you, what role do you have to fill in God's church? What role has God called you in the church? First Corinthians 12 tells us to each one. That means all of us who are believers. To each one of us has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This would be the common good. So each person in this room, according to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, has been given spiritual gifts by the Holy Spirit in which you are to build up the church. So what role do you have to fill in God's church? You do have a role. You do have gifts. The question is, what is your role and what are your gifts? And how can you use your gifts to build up the body of Christ? Maybe some of you in this room need to be elders. Maybe some of you need to be deacons. Some of you need to start teaching and shepherding the flock of God in this congregation. Some of you need to start deaconing. You start leading out and serving in a particular area that God has laid on your heart for the benefit of the church and the benefit of His kingdom. I'll just give you a few examples. We need someone, even right now, like right now, to do the roster on Sunday. We have Elizabeth is doing the ushers, and she's done great. She's got the whole thing done for the year. But we need somebody each week to line up who's going to read the Chinese scripture, who's going to lead the English scripture, who's going to do the prayer. Somebody to line up church members to be able to do that. We need somebody to serve in that right now. We need somebody to do the bulletin. There's a bulletin here. We need somebody to fill in, to do that template each week. Do the songs from the worship team and music and media team to fill all that in and the sermon and print it off and cut them. We need people to do lots of different things around here. So, what is your role? What are your gifts? And how can you use your gifts to build up the body of Christ? I would ask you to bow your heads and let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you haven't given a few of us every spiritual gift, but you have given all of us a gift or a few gifts that each one of us can use our gifts in ministry. Loving other people, serving the church, building the kingdom of God and locally and globally. Lord, I pray that you would work in each and every heart, including mine. That you would work in us, Lord, and you would refine our giftedness, that you would fan our gifts into flame if they've kind of grown cold and the embers are there. They're still glowing a bit, but need oxygen, need the Holy Spirit to blow on those coals, to fan in the flame the gift of God. Lord, I pray that you will raise up elders for this congregation. Pray that you will broaden and strengthen our deacon ministry in such a way that all of us reach full grownness and maturity in Christ. Now, Lord, you know that in no way today do I desire to be unhelpful or even hurtful. I pray that you will smooth over any rough places that I have created today, and you will cover my tracks by your grace in such a way that only what has been useful and helpful for your kingdom and for your glory will be remembered today, and that anything that I've said that's been unhelpful or of the flesh, I pray that you will erase it from our minds and hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your church. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.